All right, let's see if we can do what, 35 minutes of unbridled, unrestricted, unfiltered, positive Blue Jays talk. Kevin Barker, are you up to it? Are you ready for it? Are you feeling it?
Absolutely.
There you go. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Positive vibes only tonight. The Blue Jays. Well, I mean, yeah, whatever. Positive vibes only. Yeah, yeah, we can do positive. I can do positive tonight. The Blue Jays, 3-2 winners over the Baltimore Orioles. In the first game of a three-game series, a terrific game. Lots and lots and lots of good stuff for the Blue Jays. On a night where apparently three or four players were completely unavailable due to flu, back spasms, or
be nice,
what have you. No, I'm just saying. You know,
positivity.
Positivity. You know, it's an urgent time right now. It's urgent. And
you didn't want Vogelbach facing the lefty, huh?
No, I did not want Vogelbach facing the lefty. And I understand, look, back spasms are no laughing matter, although Danny Jansen has back spasms. It was Buck Martinez who pointed out that Danny Jansen came out and caught the pitcher between innings. So I don't know. I mean, it's one thing to squat and catch a few warm-up pitches, another thing to take hacks. I get it.
All right, you're out for one on the positivity front.
Now
let's go.
George
moving along
Springer
here, buddy.
And Justin Turner world. So anyway, we got that out of the way. Daniel Vogelbach, God love him, even got an RBI tonight. So there you go. We'll forget the double play with in the eighth inning.
Boy, you are killing this.
Play in the eighth inning, or we'll forget Kirk's double play as well.
There you go.
All of that aside, it was no. I'm positivity. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Okay, all kidding aside, Kevin Barker. I mean, we got five things that jumped out to us right away. Let's start with the starter. Jose, actually, no, you know what? Let's start with the at-bat, because I think we agree that this at-bat was probably, I don't know if I'd say the turning point of the game, but it certainly was probably Baltimore's best chance to at least tie the game in the 10th inning. They got a runner in third, Colton Cowser, AL Rookie of the Month in April, up at the plate. We're all watching this, and there is no way. I would not have bet any money that Jordan Romano was going to double up in a fastball on Colton Cowser, get him called out on strikes on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle. You saw Colton Cowser's reaction. Jordan Romano just completely crossed him up. And, of course, as a result of that, Jordan Westberg walks, and then Cedric Mullins, who's really scuffling right now, grounds out. The game's over. And Jordan Romano faced three batters with the tying run in third base, held it off.
Yeah, look, I think sometimes you'd rather be lucky and good, right? Kirky's wanting that two-strike pitch up, too, and he missed right down the middle. Yeah, look, occasionally you got to realize that 98's a pretty good pitch. Like, you don't always have to locate that, too. It's, you know, a good pitch to feed off the slider. And being unpredictable occasionally, ain't nothing wrong with that neither, even against a pretty good lineup, a pretty good hitter. So, yeah, I think, look, this is sort of where it starts and ends with the Blue Jays. You got to have not good, but great starting pitching and turn it over to a pen that was really good, right? They could match up. They could pocket guys. They brought the right guy in at the right time. Jordan Romano gave you two shutdown innings, which is a giant deal, right? We haven't seen that in quite some time, and the stuff was playing, right? The slider wasn't down the middle. The fastball was electric. It had late life to it. It was high octane, which is what he needs. He needs that thing, you know, almost triple digits. So, yeah, they got the timely hit when they needed it. That's how you beat a good team on the road, Jeff. I said this. They're one game on their way to going, what did I say? 12-4 in the next 16 to go 30-26. Don't
one
you roll
win.
Your eyes at me.
One
Don't
win.
You roll your eyes at me.
Let's just take 500,
positivity,
my friend.
Okay.
Let's just
positivity.
Take 500. Let's just take
500.
So, yeah,
it was a really good win. It was a team win. You could say that.
It was a team win. Boy, Vladdy and Bo, you know, not much in the way of extra base hits. Nothing in the way of extra base hits, but they're on base seven times. Bo, Three for three with a walk. Vladdy walked twice, got a single as well. Bo had a stolen base. And you know, Vladdy scored on Daniel Vogelbach's single as well. And Dalton Varsho tying the game with a home run to right field in the seventh inning, a one-out home run, his first home run in, what, 15 games. We are going to wait and see whether there was any issue with Corbin Burnes, the Orioles starter. I understand why Brandon Hyde, we understand what they're trying to do with Craig Kimbrel right now. They're trying to get him back on track. He's lost the closer's role for now. But he did come in the seventh inning, so we'll need to wait and see. I mean, Corbin Burnes had 85 pitches, and yes, he gave up a run, but I certainly didn't detect that he was in any danger of imploding at any point in that game for the Blue Jays. But let's talk a little bit.
I wonder if the late timeout that Adley Rutschman had, I think it was like the fourth or fifth inning, when he called it late and he sort of, you know, stopped his delivery, maybe that had something to do with it. We'll see. But
I wonder, because you could tell that, that initially Burnes was not happy with the decision and then they talked it through. So we'll have to wait and see if that's the case. It would be kind of a rare mistake by Adley Rutschman, although we'll have to see what that was all about. Kevin Dalton Varsho, we talked about the home run. He made a great defensive play as well in center field to take away a home run. Really, all kidding aside, an awful lot of good things tonight, because this is the best team in, maybe not the best team in baseball, but they're one of the top three teams in baseball right now. And you beat them in their yard in extra innings by one run. Sometimes you don't want to poke through the embers. You just want to look at that, take it for what it was, and say it was a hell of a ball game that you won against a really good team.
Yeah, we said that today. They're going to have to play a complete game to beat this team, and that's exactly what they did. They played defense when they needed to play it. They got the timely hit when they needed the timely hit. They were short staffed with, you know, who was not available and the guys that had to step in and take at bats against guys that normally they wouldn't be getting at bats against had quality at bats. You know, their two best players look like they're, you know, Vladdy's continuing to take pitches like he knows it's coming. And Bo, boy, he's nice and easy. You know, that 3-1 fastball down the middle with a couple of runners on the 10th inning against the lefty. I'm sure he wants that one back. He's a tick late on that thing, but boy, his swings are starting to look better. And you know, I think this is, again, I talked to Buck. I asked Buck today when he was on our show, you know, what can this do to a struggling team facing the best team in the American League? Buck said, sometimes you need to face these guys. Sometimes you need to know that every pitch matters and every ground ball matters and, you know, every strike and all the things that matter going that goes into beating a good team matters, especially when you're on the road trying to do it. So, yeah. Look, John Schneider did everything right. The bullpen did everything right. The starter was great. They got timely hits. They played great defense. I mean, you build off this. You gain confidence. You come in tomorrow. Hopefully, there's some more guys that are feeling a little bit better, can start contributing and adding to what the Blue Jays are trying to do. And, you know, I joked a little bit about the next 16 games and going 12-4, but this is a good start, Jeff. We can't take the Blue Jays serious until they're 500. Once they're 500, then we'll start really having a serious conversation about it.
Now, Jose Berríos has had an awful lot of success against the Baltimore Orioles throughout his career. There's, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. But, Kevin, we kind of wondered, coming off that game against Philadelphia, where lefties did pretty well against him, and that's kind of the old bugaboo with Jose Berríos, was left-handed hitters, gave up 8 earned runs in that game. We kind of wondered how he would look against the Orioles, who ran out 6 lefties tonight. I mean, it was vintage Berríos. That's really the only way to put it. The 2 solo home runs he gave up to Adley Rutschman. Adley Rutschman's now got 3 home runs and I believe 19 at-bats against Jose Berríos. But before we go into a wider discussion about Berríos, let's talk a little bit about Rutschman's second home run in the changeup. Because there was a swing call in that game by the home plate umpire, Chris Conroy, that completely turned that at-bat on its head. And I want you to walk us through it.
Well, yeah, going into the game, Adley Rutschman, when he got to 0-2, was hitting 273. Now, that's really good, right, with two strikes. You can tell he's got a decent plan when it just comes to staying through the middle of the field. And, you know, he's got plate coverage, and he can really do some things even if he gets out and around. But the big difference is, right, when he goes 2-1, counts coming in, he's hitting 400. So you got to figure that cutter that the umpire missed, instead of 0-2, it's 1-1. And then he throws him a change up away that's non-competitive. So now he gets to 2-1. And if you're Adley Rutschman, what are you doing? You're thinking out over the plate for something soft. That's sort of what run producers do, is they're sitting soft when they're ahead in the count. And you could tell that that's sort of what he was trying to do there. And when you sit soft, you just look up, you try and get out around something, and you try and get it in the air. And that's exactly what he did. But it's just those fine lines, right? It's about trying to sequence the right pitch, even if you have to double up on it. And when an umpire misses a call, he only threw one cutter. It was the 0-1 pitch to Adley Rutschman that should have been a called strike two. Instead, it's 1-1. Yeah, and then you give a smart hitter sort of a lengthier at bat, gives you a couple more looks at some more quadrants of the strike zone.
You double up in the change up as well. You throw the same pitch twice.
You sort of miss in spots, right? I mean, it wasn't an awful pitch, but it's up. When it's up and away right there, it's basically a BP fastball. And again, when you're out and around that thing like Adley Rutschman's doing, trying to pull the ball in the air, yeah, it's a big deal. He's a really good hitter. It's even his first homer. You know, the sequencing of that thing, and that's what Jose was trying to do. He knew exactly what everybody else knew, that Adley had a lot of success against him. So he's going to have to, I don't want to say trick him, but he's going to have to set him up. He wants to get him out a certain way, probably sinkers up and probably crowding him. So you got to set that up right in his first at bat. It was a sinker away. It was a four-seam in. It was a changeup down. It was a slurve back foot. So you can tell he's changing speeds. He's trying to speed him up with a fastball in. He's trying to throw some changeup, maybe get a weak contact. He's trying to back foot him, trying to get a swing and miss. And then he throws that sinker up and in. It's the short little compact swing. Again, you're just looking for something. It looks to me like with two strikes, he tries to pull everything. And I think that's sort of, if you're going to make an adjustment facing him from now on, you may want to think about throwing everything away. But that's, again, that's a great pitcher having a great year facing a really, really, really good hitter who has changed approaches by being more aggressive. Mm-hmm. And now you're trying to see, right, you're trying to combat that. And that's a little cat and mouse. You know, today, Adley won. Yeah.
Well, Rutschman versus Berríos was fun. Awesome. Tonight. That was awesome. Good baseball. That was good baseball. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Johnny in Vancouver, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey guys, it's a good thing I don't gamble on baseball, because this is super hard to predict. I mean, I was sitting there last night going, we just got punched in the mouth by the Twins, and oh God, we're going to go to Camden Yards and face Corbin Burns. But I'm really glad we pulled this one out. I just got to make one comment. I think the two representatives at the All-Star game for the Blue Jays will be Jose Berríos and Dalton Varsho. Love to know what you guys think. Thanks.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, the whole process in terms of voting and the player vote and everything makes it awfully hard to, you know, when you get down to sort of the non-starters, it makes it awfully hard to forecast who's going to go. I mean, I'll say this. I think Jose Berríos goes. If the Blue Jays are where they are right now, I think he's probably the only rep they get.
Kikuchi too. You say Kikuchi, I think, earned the right to maybe be in the conversation. Yeah. Being an outfielder, Kikuchi, playing a corner, I think you got to hit a little bit more for Dalton to make the All-Star team. There's going to be other guys that offensively are having better years than Dalton. But you can't argue. Defensively, you know, Dalton's their best defender. Like, he changes the game on the defensive side no matter where you're putting him in the outfield. Even that little play, the little thing of sort of where he used his opposite arm, his opposite glove hand, to sort of propel him a little higher in the air. I mean, it's just the timing of his jump. It's the way he uses his body, his entire body, to actually try and catch baseballs. It's pretty impressive. So I'm not sure he's an all-star, but boy, he's a really, really, really good player.
Hey, Kevin, before we move to our next caller, Brendan in Alberta, just hold the line for a minute. I want to talk about that play with Berríos and Guerrero on the bouncer up the third baseline and the swing.
Well, they didn't
ball
need to do it, right?
They didn't need to do it. That's right. They didn't need to make the play. But no. Look, I remember, and I always refer to this, I remember seeing Cliff Floyd's hand explode on a play at first base, ball runner arriving at the same time. I had flashbacks when I saw Vladdy have to pluck that ball. Now, you played that position, man. That's got to be a first baseman's worst nightmare.
Well, it is. Now, remember, I was left-handed. It means the glove is on my right hand. I would have made the play a little bit further away from the runner.
Okay.
That play with Vladdy, his glove on his left hand, that's dangerous, man. It's like that runner and Vladdy's glove reaching the base at the same time. And Vladdy did a really good job of sort of going the opposite direction, right? Spinning in the opposite direction that the runner was coming, which sort of keeps him out of harm's way. Yeah, look, that's a sort of a do-or-die play. And when the guy throwing it is going away from the throw and throwing it sidearm, the ball is only going to go into the runner, right? It's going to have that little sink down and away and go into the baseline. And Vladdy did a heck of a job, especially with that glove being on your left hand that way, of actually catching it, turning it out of the way, and making the play. And, you know, it is a dead ball, right? It's the swing. It's the ball that hit this back foot. And
still, not going through your mind when you're Barrios. Again, the umpire and TV did a good job of showing what he did and how he reacted. But I can completely see, Kevin, I can completely see, even knowing the rule, I can completely see why everybody reacted the way they did. I thought the thing, Vladdy looked at me like he was shocked as hell that the ball was coming towards him.
Yeah, you could just tell that just give kudos to Barrios, how mechanically sound he is, how he finishes, how he's always in an athletic position to field his position. He gets the good first move going to the baseball, that foul line like that, throwing off balance, like having enough arm strength to get it to first, accuracy to get it close enough that Vladdy, you know, could attempt the catch. Like all the things that go into being a really good defender, give both of them kudos. They got the out.
Brendan in Alberta, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, I'm just wondering what you guys are seeing from Jimmy Garcia this year. Besides health, what's the biggest reason why he's been so successful? Like, I know his fastball has ticked up a little bit, but I'm seeing a lot more swing and miss on his breaking ball. And I mean, to only allow 7 base runners and one of those being an intentional walk this year, that guy's been unbelievably good. And why do we talk about pitchers' workload in terms of innings pitched instead of batters faced and pitches thrown? Because we do have a plate appearance list to know how many plate appearances were there, and we do know how many pitchers are tracked. But every time we talk about workload for Rodriguez, we always talk about innings. He's on an innings limit, right? Why wouldn't he be on like a pitch limit or a batter's face limit, right?
I think it is kind of, I actually think, thanks for the call. And Kevin, I'll let you answer the Garcia question. I mean, it is a pitch limit with Rodriguez.
It's all the above.
That translates into an innings limit, right?
Yeah, it's the ups and downs. It's how he looks when he's throwing. Like there's a totality of everything. It's just not one thing. It's not innings. It's how the inning looked. You know, it's the pitches per inning. It's the batter's face. Like it's everything that would go into it. It's how many breaking balls he throws. It's how many, you know, how his velocity looks. Like it's a lot of things that go into, you know, what sort of determines on when it's done or when it's over, how his season's not going to continue. The Jimmy Garcia thing. Look, I think in the off season, he wants to get paid a little bit more money. I think he thought that thinks that he's got a little bit more in the tank. I know I talked to him in spring training. He threw a lot more in the off season. He long tossed a lot more. He lifted a lot heavier weight with his lower half, makes him stronger so he can sort of maintain, you know, the over the rubber thing. So it just doesn't happen is what I'm trying to say. It happens because he worked his ass off. That's bottom line.
I'll tell you what, you know, if you're looking for maybe a long shot guy to go to the All-Star game, a lot of times they will take relievers because of the way the game is managed. And I can see him having a shot at the All-Star team as well. And you're right, if that were to happen, it would really be a reward for having your career year when you need to have your career year. Make yourself some money. Make yourself some money. John Schneider, well, we've talked about how big a win it was. It goes without saying, 3-2 the Blue Jays beating the Baltimore Orioles. I wonder how the skipper felt.
Yeah, you don't want to say May 13th is a huge game, but this was a huge win. We had nine guys, and we obviously had no moves to make. So I couldn't be prouder of, I don't know if that's a word, I couldn't be more proud of the guys that were out there tonight. Huge day from Bo, huge day from Varsh. I mean, Varsh hits a homer, robs a homer, drives in the winning run. Told him before the game, there's no secrets here, boys. You're not getting pinch hit for, you're not getting pinch run for. So, Vogie, Kirky, I hope you're feeling fast. But, yeah, it's May 13th, but that's a huge win.
Okay, well, there you go. There's your answer as to who was available and who wasn't available. And I guess, you know, it's a pretty simple message to take the field. You're out there for nine at least. So, you know, keep that in mind. In a lot of ways, I mean, I don't know. Hell, I would think it'd give you a certain sense of freedom knowing that you're out there come hell or high water.
Yeah, Jeff, they're 8.5. They were coming into today. They were 8.5 games out of first place in the American League East. They were in last place. They were like six teams behind the third wild card spot. Like to say that I don't want to say it's May 13th. Yeah, you can say it's May 13th. Mm-hmm. You ain't played very well. You need to start playing better. I think for me, facing the best team, you could argue, in the American League at least, this is how you do it, right? You know you got to show up. Every guy's got to do their job. If they don't, they're going to get beat. Hopefully this is a stepping stone and they can gain a little confidence from this and go out here and make a little run and have a little fun doing it.
All right, we are going to step away and come back, but first a report from Jake Rill of MLB.com. Brandon Hyde was asked about taking Corbin Burnes out in the sixth inning after 85 pitches. No injury issues, according to Brandon Hyde. Nothing like that. Just felt that, quote, Corbin had emptied the tank in that inning. So there you go. It's a manager. I would imagine making a call in concert with his catcher and with his pitching coach. Yeah. That is why Corbin Burnes was taken out early and Craig Kimbrell was brought
in. It's awesome to be in first place, Jeff.
It really is. You do have a certain amount of wiggle room. You got a certain
people
amount of
people would be destroying John Snyder if he did that. Destroying Snyder.
Well, some people would. I like to think we would. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays 3-2 winners over the Baltimore Orioles. We'll take a break and come back on the other side. Sam and Hamilton, don't go anywhere. We'll get to your call. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
That feeling of having nine guys and not if something goes wrong, like what as a manager, what does that feel like over the course of the game?
Yeah, it's great and it sucks at the same time. You know what I mean? You go into it and you feel really invested with the guys that are out there, but at the same time, you're hoping, hey, no one gets hurt, obviously, but you're hoping you're not pigeonholed into a spot where you go, man, I wish I could do something different here. So I love the way they went about it. You know what I mean? It's you have to have a certain mindset and mentality when you get days like this, you know, where guys are barely able to stand up and you're forced into matchups that you don't love. So I couldn't, you know, appreciate the effort anymore. You know, hopefully it's a character building win for us.
That's John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, victorious tonight, 3-2 in 10 innings over the Baltimore Orioles at Camden Yards. And Kevin Barker, according to Hazel May, Jose Berrios told reporters that he was dealing with a fever up until about 10 this morning. Wasn't sure he could pitch, but did everything in his power, meds, vitamin C, etc., to make his start, knowing his teammates were also under the weather. So we do know from talking to John Schneider, and anybody who's been around a baseball team knows that stuff does happen. The flu does get around and work its way through clubhouses. You know, I'm detecting a certain amount of skepticism on your part there.
I played 16 years, played 14 years of winter ball. I've never seen that. That's just me. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I've been everywhere in the world and played baseball, and
I would think
maybe I was just immune to everything. I guess I was.
Yeah, I would think I'd probably have to have stuff coming out of both ends to not be playing. And if that was the case, I'm not certain I'd be sitting in the dugout. But Jose Berríos, shedding a little more light on the situation, said that actually the team was so thin that Bassett and Gausman were asked to be ready to enter the game, probably for pinch running. So,
that's no bueno.
That's no bueno. I'm sorry. I mean, you want to talk about guys? You know what? Last year we basically screwed around with your schedules all year because we screwed up with Alek Manoah. We got a new one for you this year. Anyhow, Sam and Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey guys, first of all, I mean, remember last year they almost put Kikuchi in for a pinch runner. So
yeah,
this organization would love to try that. Two things. One, about Daniel Vogelbach. Listen, I understand if they want to keep him in the lineup or if you want to keep him around. He's a good locker or good clubhouse guy, but why is he always batting fifth? Why not drop him to ninth? And the second thing I gotta say before I go about Danny Jansen, listen, I love Danny Jansen. I want him to be a Blue Jay for the rest of his career. I know you do too, Jeff, but is it time to have the conversation that Danny should leave behind the plate and go to first base like a Joe Mauer did? Because it feels like these injuries just keep coming and coming. And do you think that's the reason why? Do you think it's time for Danny Jansen to stop catching?
I appreciate the call. I mean, look, he gets hit by pitches. Is not catching going to help him? I don't know about that. There's also a slight issue. There's somebody else already at first base in this team. But I do get the caller's point. And again, I want to say, though, you know, anybody who's had back spasms in a catcher, it's not good.
Yep.
You know, again, could he have DH'd? I don't know. Buck made the point that he was out catching warm-up pitches between innings. Again, that's not that, you know, that's not necessarily like doing heavy construction work. But I'll say this about the. I mean, I think we know enough. We know enough of about guys like Justin Turner and Danny Jansen that if they could go, they would probably go. I think they could. I think they would. And probably the same thing. Probably the same thing with Kevin Kiermaier and maybe even George. We don't know how sick they were. Again. You know, this is a big game. This is a big series, and I would think if you were a guy who felt that he had to prove something this year, you'd probably want to be ready to go for a game like this. Just me.
Yeah. Look, again, I don't know if we should be coming on our show or this show and saying that, you know, how guys are feeling. We have no idea. I mean, we know that John said they weren't available and they were sick. So we're going to take their word for it. And this is a huge win. Like give Jose Berríos credit. Like he went out. Did he look sick to you? Well, he didn't look sick to me.
No, he didn't look sick to me.
Getting after dudes and lefties were 3-for-16 off of him. Like that's about as good as it gets against a team who hits a bunch of homers. So yeah, look, that's sort of what you have to do, right? So every once in a while, you got to put your big boy pants on and go out there and try and help your team as much as you can. And that just goes to show you sort of, you know, I think who has sort of taken over the reins of being the guy for the Blue Jays right now and Jose Berríos.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. I don't know if we need to say anything. More than that, I certainly don't want to cast aspersions again. You know, people treat illness in a different way and all that. And I mean, gosh knows after what we went through a couple of years ago, I think we probably all have kind of a different point of view than we did maybe 10 years ago when it comes to things like viruses and things like that. But you know, the bottom line is the Jays needed a win badly. They really did, and they got it. And you know, it's I didn't think the win over Philadelphia was necessarily something you can build on. I thought coming back and beating the Minnesota Twins 10-8 on Saturday was definitely something you can build on. And then of course we saw what happened Sunday. But I feel better about this team now, even though it was only one game. I feel better about this team than I did a couple of days ago. And, you know, let's see what happens tomorrow. If they win tomorrow and win the series, it's definitely a step in the right direction. It's still going to be a long slog back. Like, this isn't going to be, you know, as you said, you know, it's going to be a haul to get to 500 based on this schedule. But if you can somehow, maybe in these next six games, go 4-2 and then set yourself up a little bit with the White Sox and the Tigers, you know, then maybe you can start, maybe you start delaying all the talk about who's playing up their trade value, or, you know, who needs to be moved where, and what does the organization need, and when do you bring a Relvis Martinez up? I mean, that's kind of what the Jays are. I think what the Jays are doing right now is they're kind of postponing as long as they can some discussions that they may not want to have at this point in time. And I think that's probably
the best way to put it. The guy on the mound, Jeff, and they got to grind offensively. They do those two things and don't beat themselves on the bases or defensively. At least they'll have a chance to get above 500.
3-2, the Blue Jays have beaten the Baltimore Orioles. Game two of the series goes tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers, just up the road from me. I mean, I can see it out my window in Burlington and Oakville. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.